You're about to listen to a message by Reverend Yomi Kasali of Foundation of Truth Assembly. May the word you hear bear fruit in your heart, now and always.
I'm a passionate person. When I sing, I want to sing right. When I worship, I want to worship right. When I preach, I want to preach right. So I'm not your regular kind of preacher. So that's why people misjudge me. People misunderstand me. I won't just come to church and just do the singing and then go home. And I like to make sure we get it right. And this morning, the Lord is telling me that we're not getting it right. Especially look at John chapter 21. I'm preaching on Champions League. Look at John chapter 21. When Jesus rose up from the dead, he went and he saw Peter going to fish. He saw Peter. Peter went to fish. And Christ said in verse 15, after he had dined with him, lovest thou me more than this? It's important. You don't get it. I can't. Where did Jesus meet Peter? On his boat when he was fishing. I called you out of this place so you can walk with me. At the site of trial and challenge, you go back to where I said you should dump. You treasure your fishes and your fishing boat more than your relationship with me. And it's everywhere. When he said, lovest thou me, he knew what I was saying. He said, yes, I love thee. Christ had to say, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying you like me. I'm saying you love me. To know whether you love somebody, you must compare that person with other people. You can't just say, I love you. Everybody loves everybody. But love can be measured. So he says, more than. Christ said more than. So you can't just love. Everybody here loves God. Arm robbers love God. Oh, they will tell you, I love Jesus. Now devil, no. They will say that. But the question is, how much more? So he said, love me that. More than. The word more is a superlative tense. That says, it's measurable. It's measurable. All of us say, if I'm going to measure our love and affection, some of us will love our spouses more than every other being or creature on earth. Some will love our kids even more than our spouses. Some people here love their children more than their spouses. I'm telling you. They love their children more. Some love their brothers, siblings more than their spouses. Oh, we love my spouse. But I love my brother more than my husband. There are people, so it's not about loving, it's about more. So call God, Oliver Twist, who wants more. Yes, he wants more. He deserves all. He demands for it. You shall love the Lord thy God with all. That's the greatest commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all. With all. I'm not too sure we love God that crazily. Crazy love. Crazy love. What the church is meant to do is to teach us to love God. Love God. To love somebody, you serve the person. You serve the person without complaining about the service. You give to the person. You want to surprise the person. You want to please the person. Look at the person's eyes every morning and say, were you happy with your gift yesterday? My wife asked me, God knows how many times on my birthday, do you like it? I said, yes, love, I do. Are you sure you like it? I said, I do. After the party, she said to me, are you sure you're happy? I said, yes, sweetheart, I am H-A-P-P-Y happy. I am happy. Thank you. I thanked her, God knows how many times. Because she wanted to be sure that the person she loves likes it, appreciates it. That's what love is about. That's why 1 John chapter 3, I think verse 3, chapter 3, verse 8 or verse 18 says, love not in word only, but in deed and in truth. Wow. That means people can just love in word, and we do that often, don't we? When you see that young man toasting that young lady, say, I love you, it's just mouth, lip service love. So even in scriptures, it says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. You know what they call tongue? Just mouth. But in deed and in truth. If I'm going to measure this with our work for God, indeed means in your works. We all will fail the love test. I was telling Dickness, I said, Stan, because we've dissolved our Dickens board. I was telling Sister Ngozi on her today. I said, look at the church is dirty. Some people see the dirty church, they don't say anything wrong with it. I see it,
there's something wrong in it. It's the Father's house, our Father's house. Our Father's house.
Our Father's house. It shows this man may love God more than you too. And that's the truth. You know, the Pharisee came to Jesus. A woman came, a prostitute woman came. She broke up, Luke chapter 7. And she worshipped Christ. She poured oil on Christ. She showed her affection on Christ. She did everything for Christ. And Simon the Pharisee said, look at this man. If this man were to be a prophet, he would know that woman is a sinner. In Luke chapter 7. And Jesus made a profound statement that today if I make it, many of you will stop being my member. He made a profound statement. Christ said, this woman, Luke chapter 7, this woman loves me more than you love me. Watch me. Jesus said, this woman, this prostitute, loves me more than you love me. Just watch me. Because she loves me more, more shall be forgiven. Now that is a mystery theologically. Does that mean that some of us have received more things from God from while others don't receive more? Theologically, it's a mystery. So to him that loveth much, more shall be forgiven. The word forgiveness there is deeper. Because from the act of forgiveness, you get the act of grace. Other things, I will pour more grace upon him, upon her. I will pour, is grace measurable? Come for second service. I'm preaching on grace and disgrace. Grace evolution. You will find where James says that to the humble God giveth more grace. That word more, you must go and look at it from English. More grace. More grace. That means you can measure it. There's a measure of grace. Because your heart yearns for more of him. Your heart bows before him. You bury yourself in his service. You love him unconditionally. You work for him. You don't complete those. When others don't do it, you fight them. Why are you not working for God? Don't come near me. Leave me alone. I don't want you near me. Why? Because you don't love who I love. You don't love what I love. So when you trigger the anointing in my spirit through worship, this is what we get. Because for me, it's not just singing. I don't want, that's what I tell my MD. I don't like singers. I like worshippers. You know, that's why I prefer those that are naive. But they are truly worshippers. Not those that will mark the keys for every time we sing, but those that will understand the words than the keys. Again, the words matter more than the keys. To a professional, the keys matter more than the words. Praise God. So when you sing, when Chinwe said that, you're all that I want, I'm like, ha ha. Don't sing that song here. Because as far as I'm concerned, I'm not too sure that that's the truth. I'm looking at myself. I don't think that's the truth. Because it looks like I love the fish more than him. When he says, love me more than this. Fish means, fish is a symbol of Peter's occupation. Oh, you miss that. Love thou me more than this. Because he came to meet him and said, Abba, Peter. When I met you 3.5 years ago, I told you to leave your boat and I will stand with you. I told you should follow me. He said, yes. I said, I will make you fishers of men. How come you've gone back to what you said you were going to dump? You left everything and you followed me. You're back to serve this because of temporary indisposition. Temporarily, I'm not there with you. So you mean your faith is as long as you are here. The moment you are not here for just 1 year, I'll backslide. Love us down here. And all of us here love our work more than our God. As the Bible said, it's not increasing. It's increasing now, we thank God. Love us down me more. More. When was the last time you did evangelism? It's an archaic word. It's an archaic phrase. Love us down me more than this. I want to thank all of you, everybody who came for the vigil. Gap vigil. Would you appreciate them for me? All of you that came for vigil. Clap yourselves. Thank you very much. I'm passionate about God. I am. And those that know me very well know that I just love him. I want to do everything for him. I want to please him. I want to thank all of you for your birthday gifts, cards, calls. But more than that, I want you to love God more than you love me. Exactly. Serve him more than you serve me. Serve him. Don't even serve me at all. Serve God. Bury yourself in his work. The church is dirty. I don't know. I don't like it. So I told Sister Ngozi, Oputa, and Onora, we have to get new workers to come and clean the church. Maybe I'll be on Saturday myself to clean the church. Because it's a house of God. I have no shame in cleaning my father's house. There's no big manism in church. Am I communicating? There should be no big manism. They should be able to come to church on Wednesday or Saturday. Come and clean the church. Come and take a broom and sweep. Don't say, I'm an MD. So what? Can't you sweep God's house? This our big manism and title is driving us in our minds. I don't know who people lie anymore. You can't sweep. You can't take a broom and sweep God's house. I don't get it. God's house. Your father's house. We tend to think it's work for those that are jobless in our midst. Our welfare brothers. Go and give them that one. It's not Christianly. That's not what the Bible says. We're Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church.
You're listening to Reverend Yomi Kasali. Stay connected with him on Twitter at Yomi_Kasali. For feedback, counseling, and prayers, send a mail to info@yomikasali.com.
Praise God. See, I know you are quiet on me. Praise God. That's your business. Praise God. If you like it, that's what you need. Praise God. I want to thank everybody. Today, one of the best gifts I got was from somebody that I think I just met. I'm not even sure. I'm using a Bible. I love this Bible. I love Bible. Somebody gave me this Bible. The person is in church. Thank you very much. I love Bibles. I have quite a lot of Bibles. I just love the sight of a new Bible. I printed it since yesterday. I read, kept painting. I like to paint my Bible. When there's no part to paint anymore, I go and buy a new one. So I can buy a new one. I start painting. I must paint my Bible. Bible is important. Just keep painting it. Painting means when you're reading it, underline it. Praise God. Some of you, Bible you've been using for the past 15 years, I still carry it to church. You've not finished painting it. Because you don't read it. Hallelujah. Read your Bible. It's the most important book on earth. Somebody sent me a WhatsApp. Not me. Somebody made a comment on our WhatsApp group a few days ago. It was yesterday when they pushed out the theme for today's series. I know I like to do series. Today we're starting a new series, Champions League. And my desire was I was supposed to wear my jersey. But because I love my team too much, I told my staff, if I wear Chelsea jersey today, I will be compelled against my natural desire to wear Arsenal jersey next Sunday. And I'll be compelled to wear Manchester United jersey upper Sunday. And I'll be compelled to wear that pool called Liverpool jersey. And because I'm a natural person, I like to be myself. I don't like those teams. So I don't want to hide it. I don't want to hide it. So for me to wear the jersey of my opponent, I'm not too sure I can do it. So I said to the person, I will not wear any jersey. But I will tell all of you to wear jerseys to church. I won't wear, because if I wear one, it's only one I wear throughout. And because I want to be a father of all, I'm supposed to wear your own jersey too. And I can't see myself adorned in Arsenal jersey. Adorned. Can you imagine? Can you all imagine? Dickball, I can't see myself wearing your team's jersey. It would be a shame. Me wear Arsenal jersey to preach. Can you? No, I would not like my face, my picture. Can you imagine? So rather than wear my new jersey, or that team called Arsenal, or that pool called Liverpool, let me stay with my shirt and trouser. Does that make sense? But it's Champions League. And, you know, somebody now said, sir, what about those of us that don't love football? The person sent it on the WhatsApp chat. Now, why are we doing Champions League? What about those that don't love football? Sister Tumayo, they don't like football. Sister Toby, what about those that don't like football? I said, but okay, I understand. All of us love winning. All of us want to be champions. So if you want to be a champion, be a winner, come to service. I'm only using that phrase. So all of us love to be champions. All of us love winning. If you don't like to win, then don't attend Champions League. But if you want to win, then come. So I can teach and train you on how to be a champion in life. All of us want to win. And the truth is, it's in the Bible that not everybody's going to win. That some people will win. There are winning formulas, there are winning principles in life. There are winning secrets in life. So today I'm going to be laying foundation, and next week I'm going to teach more on it. I'm laying foundation today. on Champions League. Is that clear? So for me to lay foundation, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try as much as possible for those skeptics or those super spiritual creatures here. And there's nothing wrong with being super spiritual. I'm spiritual, but it's not super. Nothing wrong with that. Those of you that probably think, but Pastor, must you do football in church on Sunday morning? You know, let me just teach you briefly. Give me maybe 4 or 5 scriptures. That's my foundation today. Where to find the usage of sports in scriptures. Because when Jesus taught and preached, and when the Bible was written with the things, it's the natural things. We learn spiritual truth from the natural things. Does that make sense? That's why Christ used seed and sower and grounds. Because those are the things that people could identify with. You know, they could identify. He said, oh, I'll make you fishers of men. Who was he talking to? A fisherman. So the fisherman immediately understood what he meant by saying, fishers of men. Okay, I can relate with that. I can relate with that. But so Christ would not just come to a fisherman and says, I'll make a carpenter. But he was a carpenter. His father, Joseph, was a carpenter, foster father. So he didn't say that. He used something that fisherman knew and used to now teach the gospel. To another group of people who say, this wants to understand more of the soil, they are farmers. You know, a sower went out one day to sow, and he cast some seed here. So those farmers, okay, they could identify with it. To use the things that people would identify with to teach spiritual truth. Is that clear? That's what we should do. So things that people are passionate about, football, soccer, and they watch religiously and probably addictively. Let's teach us principles from it. And Christ used that as well. Praise the Lord. As I praise the Lord. So today, my topic will be, who's your coach? Who's your coach? I have just a few more minutes to teach it. But before I do that, let me explain to you, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5 tells us we are all athletes. Let us establish life as a game. Let's establish the fact that life is like a game. All of us are players. All of us are players. We play in this game of life. Not all of us will win in this game of life. We all play at different leagues. I told my staff, I called them together last month at a staff meeting. I said, we need to play in the Champions League. They said, how? I said, we've got to move further to the Champions League. Not all teams or clubs play in the Champions League. Why? They call them a league for champions. There are all kinds of leagues. So which leagues do you play in? No, as a person, you just ask yourself, whatever field I'm in, whatever field, Pastor, I'm a barber, I want to barb in the Champions League. I want to barb as champions. I want to be a winner in barbing. I'm a tailor. I'm a fashion designer. I want to be the best there will be ever in Sulele. That's my dream. That's my desire. In this Sulele, if they mention 5 top fashion designers, my name will be there. Why? That's a Champions League. You must have a champion's mindset. You must have a winning or winner's mindset. It's important. It's important. And that means you must develop your skills. You must add your character. You must add other things to your life so you can become a better person. An improved person. Not a Christian, I know. But change the league you play in.
You're listening to Reverend Yomi Kasali. Stay connected with him on Twitter at Yomi_Kasali. For feedback, counseling, and prayers, send a mail to info@YomiKasali.
Tell yourself, Lord, I need to move up. I want to go higher. I'm tired of being here. I want to do something better, different. I will improve my mind, improve my spirit, improve my life. I will change my habits. I will read more at night. I won't just watch TV, just watch movies. I will change my habits so I can do what champions do. You've got to be hungry for winning to win. People always think success comes accidentally. That's not true. You've got to be hungry for it. I'm hungry for more. You've got to be aggressively hungry. Bible says we are all athletes. 2 Timothy 2 verse 5. Very clearly it says it there. That I don't like certain people around me. Those not driven. Those not hungry. Because they will infect me. Either I change them or they change me. And if I try to change you, you don't change, then I will move on. Otherwise you will change me eventually. Who's your coach? Your coach determines how far you will go in life. I'm telling you the truth. Who's coaching you? Because you need to find, you need to ask yourself that question. Because life is a game. We are all players. Winning is the end of it. I want to win. And to win for me is not just to be rich. Don't get it wrong. Because people think winning means rich. No. Prosperity is defined from your own field. He says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned? All of us want to be crowned. I want to wear the crown. I want to win. We all strive for masteries. The word strive in Greek is when the word agony. To agonize. To work hard. To work hard. It takes some pain to be master. The word masteries means to be winner, to be champions. If a man also strive to be a champion. So champions don't just wait one day and say, I'm a champion. It takes striving to be a champion. My God. It takes striving. Work hard. If a man also strive for masteries, well, mastery means to be champions, to be winners, to lead, to be ahead of others, to be a master. Master. To master what you're doing. Master your field. Master your field. If a man strives for masteries, he's not crowned. The word crown means he's not celebrated. Men will never come and crown you. They say, to whom crown? This is the guy, he's the winner. They give you a crown. You go and say, yes, I know what I did. I had sleepless nights. I did more than other people. I developed my skills. I worked harder. I developed my character. Developed my competence. Today, I'm being crowned. I'm being crowned. But in this passage, it says you must be crowned when you do that lawfully. I like the way Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. He says, we all run in a race. I like Paul. Paul said, can you imagine Paul using the same things we use today? We are athletes. So I'm telling you from the Bible, sports lingua, fill the entire scriptures. Sports lingua is all there. The language of sports. So I'll come here and say, I didn't love football, but you love winning. Praise God. If you don't like winning, not if I don't want to win, then you're a loser. Not if I embrace losing, then God bless you. Leave me alone. No, you know that all which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. Somebody say the prize. Shout the prize. Shout the prize. In life, there are prizes given to those that win. One receives. I want the prize. I want the prize. Paul said, I press towards the mark for the prize. My God. The scriptures is filled everywhere with sports lingua, language of sports. You find it there. The word run there, he was losing what the people would understand. That you know we're all involved in a race. Yes. Let me tell you, Christian life is like a race. Just like we do in the natural life. It says there. So run that you what? Shout it. That what you may obtain is that you may win. Don't just run to be involved in a race. Oh no, you missed that. Don't just run to be involved in a race. Run that you may obtain. You may obtain that prize. Run to win. Be involved in it to what? To win. To win. To win. Don't just enlist to be in there. Everybody's doing it. Me too, I'm doing it. No, no, my daughter, no, no. Run that you may obtain. Let the prize be right before you. God, I want this prize. I want to be a champion. I want to win. I want to win in life. I want to win. I hate to lose. Great men despise losing. I hate to lose. I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose souls. I don't want to lose money. I don't want to lose in life. I don't like losing games. I will lose. So every time I set goals for myself, my aim is, God, help me to win. I will do everything possible.
You're listening to Reverend Yomi Kasali. Stay connected with him on Twitter at Yomi_Kasali. For feedback, counseling, and prayers, send a mail to info@yomikasali.
I will walk out. I will pray more. I will seek his face. I will learn from principles of life. How to win in life. Run that you may obtain. The next verse. Next verse. Verse 25. Every man that strives for mastery. Do you see the same phrase? Where did you see that phrase before? 2 Timothy. You see the same word. Every man that strives for mastery is temperate or talks to himself, manages his temperament. Self-controlled. What temperate means that we are all temperamental creatures. So manage your temperament to win in all things. Discipline yourself. Discipline. Now, I don't understand how people want to win in life and not be disciplined. I've seen a fat, very overweight footballer before. The coach will say, go and do your gym. Go to the gym. Or a sprinter that has pot belly. You can't be using Bolt. You can't be using Bolt. You work on yourself. If you want to win in life, you have to work on yourself. You have to discipline yourself. The one I give to you is the one that your boss is good discipline, but the one you do to yourself is more important. And they do it now. Watch me. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. You see, I love both. I want to get both the corruptible and incorruptible. Hello. So, but we are incorruptible. That's the faith race. The race of faith is an incorruptible crown. Praise God. Abayomi Matthew Casali wants to get both incorruptible and the corruptible. I want to be celebrated in life. I want to be, and I also want to be celebrated in heaven. I want God to say to me, well done, son. Well done. You conquered on earth. Take your crown. You walk out for me. I want you to do both. In your field, draw men to Christ. Be the best keyboardist in town. Be the best banker in town. Work hard. Be the best tailor in town. Be the best cameraman in town. Don't just hold camera. Hold it well. Hold it with grace. Hold it with dignity. Let them know you enjoy what you're doing. Last night, I watched something on TV. They were doing a documentary. And there was this taxi man who's been driving taxi for like God knows how many years, from age, whatever. And he's a fan of a football club. Football, and he was saying it. And he said it proudly. I'm a taxi person. And I said, God, why do Americans and Europeans, how come they are proud about what they do? And they do it with grace and dignity. Here, there's no dignity of labor. Why can't you be honest and say, look, you know what? I'm a mechanic and I do it well. Without me, your cars will not function. But we have to just pack things up. Everybody, there's something about dignity of labor that we don't know. I don't know why. Why can't you be the best, Baba? Create your barbing style. Be the best. Be diligent. We don't have what we call dignity of labor anymore. Everybody wants to knot a tie and wear a suit, even if they're not doing nothing. Go at them and say, yes, I am. Where do I work somewhere. Well, let's work somewhere. I want to be perception. I want to be perceived as successful. Even though I'm broke, perceived as successful. I'm doing nothing. Perception. Let me give them a fake impression of greatness and dignity. But there's nothing. It's nothing. Be proud of what you're doing. Do it well, do it right, and do it with a lot of zeal and zest. You can win. You can win. Next verse, 26, 27. Quickly. I want to, because my time is. I therefore so run. I run! Not as uncertain. This is what I use a lot more. There are people that don't have clear goals. So fight high, not as one that beat the air. Uncertain means aimlessly. I have not just running aimlessly. The last 4 or 5 years, let me ask you, what have you been doing? Nothing. You've been existing, not living. Nothing. You've been living aimlessly, living your life aimlessly. Aimlessly. You don't know where you're just, I'm just there waiting for somebody to tell me what to do. I shall run. You see, winners, champions run with a aim. If you are going to be a champion in life, you must have goals. I do not just fight beating the air. I don't just throw punches. I hit my enemy. Is there? So I keep under my body and bring to subjection. Let's have enemies when I preach to others. That's his own race. That's his own fight. That's his own race. As a preacher. As a preacher, I know the principles of preaching. As a pastor, I know I will not violate the rules. I will not violate the rules. So I can win. So after I brought many to Christ, I will not be a castaway. So he clearly explained that was there. Friends, there are so many passages in scriptures that tells us about sports. Sports. That where God used sports to explain our faith and our walk in life. And we should learn. I watch football a lot. And I learn a lot from football. I do. We're all involved to win. I am involved in life. In this life, I want to win. I want to be a winner. In life, I want to be a champion. In my field, I want to be a winner. I don't know about you guys. I want to. There are many scriptures that tells us that. I don't want to run in vain. However, for you to understand that, I'm going to be teaching many things in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Today, who's your coach? Next one, I'm going to be talking about the dressing room spirit. I wrote an article on the dressing room spirit. Because it tells you a lot about who you are. That's why you develop. It's a closet life. In football, they have a dressing room. If the spirit in the dressing room is bad and poison, then there's no way you can win on the field. People want to win on the field, but what happens on the field starts from the dressing room. So I'll be teaching you what dressing room is in spirit. Your closest life. The time when you talk to yourself. When you look at the man in the mirror and you can charge yourself. Edify yourself. So when you now go out, my God, you will perform well. You will win in life. Once your dressing room is poisoned, I'm not too sure you can win outside. I don't think so. That's why many people are depressed. They come to church, put a smile on their face, but they're depressed. Their dressing room is poisoned. They don't have their coach there with them. They fight themselves at home. In marriage, they're beating. So when that gets to work, the guy begins to mess up at work. Why? Because she fought her husband last night. The dressing room is weak. Things are not going the way they should go. It becomes extremely difficult to win on the field because the dressing room is poisoned. Praise God. Teamwork. I asked my staff a few days ago, I said, what's the difference between teamwork and team spirit? What's the difference between teamwork and team spirit? It's important. And I asked them, which one is more important of the two? Which one will you elevate above the other? So you can know what you must ensure you have. Of course, the team spirit. When it's time for me to teach you that, I'll tell you what the difference is. And then which league are you playing in? You must run to win. But today, in the next 3, 4, 5 minutes, my time is gone. Let me teach you who's your coach. Every man in life must have a coach. There are human coaches and there is spiritual coach. And God told me that the Holy Spirit should be our coach. Put your hands together, everybody. If you're going to win in life, if you're going to win in life, you're going to be a champion. Because the coach tells you the tactics. The coach tells you the strategy. The coach tells you how to improve yourself. A better coach is a man that manages people well. You come to me scruffy, you end up leaving me better. I will tell you how to play in life, when to calm down. There are some people that are unplayable. Some people, you find a good coach can manage a greater character than others. Another coach comes in, we say, I can't play with you. Go, go, go. The Holy Ghost will manage your temperament well. The Holy Spirit cannot miss it, cannot fail. When Jesus said to us, I'm going to give you another comforter, a counselor, he actually meant a coach. He said, your helper, he will teach you all things. He will direct you every day. He will guide you. He will help you. He will support you. He will counsel you. He will give you secrets of winning. Many of us don't commune with the Holy Ghost anymore. We look at other coaches in life. We look at human coaches. We look at other people. And we think they are better than the Holy Ghost. The best coach you can have ever is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The best coach you can have ever. You can't be coached by the Holy Ghost and you fail in life. It's not possible. You can't be coached by God and you lose your life. You cannot be coached. The Holy Ghost cannot be your consultant. And you fail. And you consult him every week, every minute, every second. Lord, where should I move? Where should I go? How should I do it? You find out when he says to you, calm down. He says to you, defense now. Now attack. Now stroke the midfield. The Holy Ghost will tell you what to do at every point in time. Because he knows how the enemy plays. He knows how the opponent plays. And he wants you to win. He knows when to tell you, calm down, son. Don't retaliate. Defend now. Defend your faith now. Don't attack yet. Why, Lord, I want to attack. No, not yet. That's why I like David. Before David would go to war, he would say, God, should I strike? God said, go. Simple, should I strike? God said, no, stay. David would consult God every second, every minute before he would do it. The only time he didn't consult God, the enemy hindered him. The enemy triggered him and provoked him to count and to number Israel. And God said, why would you do that without consulting me? Tonight when I'm doing prayers, or neither give place to the devil, I'll tell you how David gave the place to the devil. And the devil used him, and then God, he lost. The time he lost, because he didn't consult God. This was a man that consulted God all the way, every time, all his moves. But the only time he didn't do so, the devil, the enemy, whispered to him to number Israel. So he can know how great you are, how mighty you are. Check your numbers. The Holy Spirit is your coach. John 14:26 tells us that we should always consult him. May I introduce you today to the best coach on earth, the Holy Spirit, Paracletos. Put your hands together again. Most of us don't consult him. He will teach you how to win in the dressing room. He will give you the right tactics to use. He will give you the right strategy to use. He will tell you when to deploy. He will teach you how to improve your game. Look, say, Lord, I am here. I'm skilled. I'm skillful. He will tell you how to improve your skills. Because a good coach will manage you well. A good coach will manage you well. The Holy Ghost is not afraid of playing youth. My God, can I preach? You know, some coaches don't like you playing young people. They want established football players. Just play them on the field so you can take the glory. You get one of them is that guy called Mourinho. He was my former coach. Don't like the guy anymore. Don't like him. He almost ruined my club. The guy, he doesn't like playing young people. Every young person in his team, he sells them, he loans them. He wants established people, very established, they play them. That's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will try young people. He tried David at age 18. He will pick you up at young and he will make you great. Put your hands together, everybody. No matter how young you are, the Holy Ghost has faith in everybody. The Holy Spirit has faith in everybody. He will build you. He will improve you. He will inspire you. Hallelujah. You cannot, listen very carefully. You cannot lose if you allow the Holy Spirit to coach you. Quote me anywhere. You cannot lose. You cannot. It's not possible for a man to lose in battles in life if the Holy Spirit is your coach. It's time for us to get the right coaches to coach us. The right person. And then follow men that have been coached by the Holy Ghost. That's the second coach. Paul said, imitate me as I follow Christ. Find men that have been led by the Holy Ghost. And then follow them and say to them, tell me, how did you work with that coach? How did you do it? Tell me how I can develop my coaching, my skills while working the same coach. Find such men that have worked with God, that have worked with God and that have won with God. Worked and won with God and then follow them. Ask them, they will learn, they will teach you a lot. They will teach you, they will inspire you, they will also support the Holy Ghost in coaching you. No human coach can do better than the Holy Ghost. May I ask you today to turn your life over to Him. Your marriage, your games. We're all playing games. Let Him coach you. The Holy Spirit is a person. He wants to have a role to play in your life. Embrace Him. Bring Him in and you succeed. Put your hands together for Jesus. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet, everybody. Rise to your feet.
Thank you for listening. Worship with us at Foundation of Truth Assembly Headquarters on 40/42 Imam Dauda Street, off Eric Mosu Lere, Lagos. God bless you.